Deal.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm going to withdraw my amendment because now I've learned that we have another pathway to get to the end result agreed upon. And that would be the entire amendment that I made all the way through line 1.26, and then I'm under the understanding that Senator Peterson then is going to come back in and make a change here.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yep, Mr. Knopf is going to offer that oral amendment that we have worked out there. So,
well, Senator Peterson, you're going to offer an oral amendment. And Mr. Knopf is Mr. Knopf is going to read your oral amendment. Senator Peterson, you worked way too hard last summer and last fall not to get to offer that oral amendment.
No,
Senator Peterson will offer an oral amendment that Mr. Knopf will explain. Mr. Knopf.
And Mr. Chairman, no one has given me the authority to offer amendments in my career here, so I don't think they could. Mr. Chair, it'd be on page 1, line 20, delete on August 1st, 2011, and insert by June 30, 2012. And then delete the sentence that begins on 1.23 after the period. You delete the rest of the line and delete lines 24 through 26. And then, Mr. Chair, on 2.30 after the period, insert the commissioner may sell excess tree planting stock to licensed private Minnesota nurseries, and then delete lines 2.31 through 3.6 from the amendment. Basically, we're just moving the sentence that would have been in subdivision 3B up into subdivision 1, and then leaving the authority of the department to sell native tree seeds alone, leaving that that subdivision alone. And so that would be the amendment to the amendment. Senator Peterson's moving.
Thank you. Senator Peterson moves that oral amendment. Why don't we adopt Senator Peterson's oral amendment to the A46? Discussion to Senator Peterson's oral amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Okay, Senator Peterson's oral amendment is adopted. Deputy Commissioner Shad, thank you for coming. This is a significant amendment that we have modified the Senate's position that would have had potentially significant change in direction beyond what even this amendment's take place. So I'd like to give you an opportunity. Thank you for coming, Deputy Commissioner. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Dave Shad, Deputy Commissioner from DNR. With me is Olin Phillips from our Forestry Division. He oversees the state nursery program. And we do appreciate the attempt here to soften the impact that the Senate position would have had. However, we do not support closing the C.C. Andrews State Nursery at this time. As I mentioned on Friday, we are undertaking a business analysis of this nursery program, taking a look both from a financial standpoint, but also taking a look at our tree planting needs and the risk associated with moving from two nurseries to one and the potential for catastrophic failure at that single nursery. And so we would prefer to work through that process and make sure that we've got good information at hand before a decision is made to close one of the two nurseries. And so so while we appreciate the movement here, we still do have concerns about closing one of the nurseries at this time. If I could, Mr. Chairman, I could speak to a couple of other features of the amendment. Would that be okay?
Yes. Okay. Please, Deputy Commissioner, continue.
All right. The changes in the oral amendment in Section C on the first page help us. I appreciate those changes. We were concerned about a cash flow issue there if those dollars had transferred earlier than that. Moving to the top of the second page, Part D, the 5% reserve issue on line 2.1 there is a very narrow margin for us to operate under. As an example, in 2009, for various reasons, primarily because the bottom dropped out of the economy, our nursery sales dropped 30% just in that one year. And so a margin of 5% is too narrow there. It would really make it impractical to manage that account, and our preference would be to continue to manage under the current statutory provision that requires over time for that nursery operation to be self-sufficient. Let's see. I guess the final point I'd make, Mr. Chairman, is the restrictions starting on lines 2.8 that restrict sale of or restrict use of nursery products from the state nurseries only to state lands will affect the viability of that operation. We estimate that our annual needs for state land reforestation are about 4 million seedlings. At that level of production, it's very close, based on some preliminary work that we've done, it's very close whether or not we can, in fact, be self-sufficient at that level. And some additional ability to sell to other public land managers, for example, to assist soil and water conservation districts in filling out some of their tree planting packets, and to sell some product over the counter that isn't needed for state land management would help ensure that whatever we have left for a nursery program would, in fact, we could have some assurance that we'd have the flexibility to be self-sufficient.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips, did you want to add anything? If you could identify yourself for the record, if you do.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Olin Phillips. I'm the section manager for the Forest Protection Section, which includes oversight for the nursery program. I think that Assistant Commissioner or Deputy Commissioner Shad has pointed out the concerns with this amendment that we do have. I think it's pretty close. One of the comments about this margin that and the what we experience is the drop-off in sales and that we experienced in 2009 that led to some of the significant economic struggles that we've all faced in the economy was based upon sales of seedlings that we had already pretty much grown. Our seedlings are in the ground for 2 to 3 years at a minimum. And so the trees that we were trying to harvest and sell, we'd already made the investments into and the costs associated with it.
Thank you. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Deputy Commissioner Chad. Can you give us an example of a catastrophic failure that you described?
Deputy Commissioner Shad.
Senator Peterson, yes. Windstorms, for example, can be very damaging to the very small seedlings and the soils for both of these nurseries happen to be very sandy soils. They're optimal for growing trees, and so the abrasive action of a very severe windstorm could wipe out an entire year's production. Extreme drought compounded with a power failure, for example, an extended power failure could result in some difficulties in irrigating fields to the extent we need to, and so there are a number of contingencies, and then finally disease issues. If we do take precautions, but if we were to get a disease introduced to one of the nurseries that would damage growing stock, we would be at risk of not having adequate growing stock without a second facility with some production capability to continue to reforest state lands.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Deputy Commissioner Chad, do you have an idea of what a private sector nursery would do if they would experience any of those? Is it common for private sector nurseries to have multiple locations to cover that type of catastrophic event?
Deputy Commissioner Shad.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Peterson, I'm not that familiar with private nursery operations. I might ask Mr. Phillips to respond if he's aware of the risk management practices. That wasn't it.
Chairman, members of the committee, most private nurseries, I think, have a very limited capacity to do that within their land base. Some of the larger facilities that exist, such as a Bailey's-type capability, have multiple locations where they can raise seedlings from. As you go to the small grower, that becomes much more difficult and probably doesn't exist in a situation like a Schumacher's hardwood nursery or even a Lee nursery that used to exist in Northwest Minnesota.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair and Deputy Commissioner, can you buy insurance for that type of catastrophic event? Or?
Deputy Commissioner Shad.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Peterson, the state is self-insured. I'm not sure if we would be able to use that state self-insurance program to insure something like growing stock in our nurseries. We typically use that for vehicles and other infrastructure losses. We'd have to look into that and get back to you.
Senator Peterson, I can tell you when you wake up in the morning, like this morning, and look at the radar, and they show the severe number of lightning strikes and hail moving through Scott County and Dakota County, and you're a tree-growing nursery north and east of that movement, you're very nervous for the next few hours, hoping that you don't get hit with an unbelievably catastrophic thing that can have a huge devastating effect. Generally speaking, the insurance that's available in an economic sensible way does not have real adequate coverage, and so it's a fear in that industry that folks in that business live with day to day, and there's examples in the private sector nurseries that can put people out of business in a hurry. Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and that's exactly my point. Again, I'm not sure why, as you can imagine, a nurseryman that competes against these state nurseries every day, every month, every year, and have been for years, you can imagine the frustration that they must feel when they go through and deal with these catastrophic events and the risk that they go through, and yet we're going to ask them as a legislature to finance their competitors in the DNR by operating an additional facility. I mean, I would only encourage members to please recognize the compromise and the direction this has gone, and I would really encourage members to ask Commissioner Landwehr to take this recommendation to the governor. It's very fair and reasonable, and I think it would be a big mistake if he decides to oppose this. So,
thank you, Senator Peterson. Additional comments. Deputy Commissioner Shad.
Mr. Chairman, I should maybe raise one additional issue or concern here, and that regards the 2% cap on deciduous tree stock production that's included on line 1.10 and also on 2.23, and I might have Mr. Phillips comment on the implications of that 2% cap.
Mr. Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the 2%, currently we produce about 15% of our stock as hardwood stock. If you address this bill from the standpoint that we're now going to be producing for state lands, we would probably be in a demand area for more than 2% of hardwoods to meet our state land planting needs that you're trying to specify in this bill. And this bill would place us out of competition with private nurseries, I'm not sure I understand why we would want to cap any species production within the state forest nursery.
Thank you. And Mr. Phillips, if I can ask, on state land, what of the plantings you do, I know many, and most, I believe, significantly most, are evergreens. What percentage of the current plantings on state land that you do are deciduous?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'd have to get you some real I'm trying to pull that off the top, and I looked through the materials I brought with me, but I would estimate that it's at least 10%.
Okay, and Mr. Phillips, I can ask, is the vast majority of that things like green ash, red oak, or bur oak, red osier dogwood, real simple things that the private sector is growing vastly larger amounts than you currently are?
Mr. Chairman, that's and members of the committee, the species you're talking about are generally the species we're talking about. We do use a lot of shrubs in support of our programs in state park systems as well as wildlife management areas that are not necessarily tree species but are deciduous shrub species that are available there. And so we're trying to meet some unique reinvestments of seed source known materials back into our parks and natural areas.
Well, thank you, Mr. Phillips, and we do want to work with you on this. I do believe currently you're at 6 million plantings at two sites. This, you're saying, would put you at about 4 million, the need in the evergreen need. I think that you could develop a model at Bedora that would work, that would allow you to do the important evergreen production that I believe that you can do in a capable fashion. I don't believe there's a need for you to be in the deciduous market, though you do grow some specialty items that you may have a challenge to find, and that was the interest in giving you some flexibility in a limited fashion. If I could confirm, I'm not sure, Deputy Commissioner Shad, it's my understanding that you will not be planting at General Andrews this spring. Is that true?
Mr. Chairman, we did plant there last fall. The hardwoods go into the ground last fall. We did plant there last fall. We haven't made a final determination yet for this spring. Again, we're working through the numbers and trying to make that decision. So.
Well, Deputy Commissioner, I hope you're getting the direction that we're hoping to work with you and accommodate the important work we do in the reforestation of state land, trying to get all of us on a track that works for everyone, that is fair and makes more sense. And so we need to push you on this issue. I understand there's challenges before all of us. Senator Peterson, I appreciate your willingness to work with us and try and find some compromise here. You've bent over very, very far in moving from your position, and I appreciate that very much so, because this is something that has significant fiscal impact on what we were looking at compared to where we are now. We're going to give the department an opportunity to get us a fiscal note based on where we're at. I do want to offer, I believe the industry is here. Would the industry like to speak to the amendment? Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you, Mr. Phillips, and appreciate the willingness to work on a tough issue. Welcome to the committee. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Fitch. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association. Our association, we maintain our fundamental position that the state of Minnesota should not be in the production of trees, just like it should not be producing bricks for public schools or building buses for public transportation. However, we consider this amendment to be progress towards the goal of enhancing free enterprise, and we would support it. I think the naysayers will discover that the sky is not going to fall, and that good, fairly and affordably priced native and non-native seedlings will be readily available from private growers. We appreciate the work of Senator Peterson and the support of yourself and Chairman Engelbretson on this issue.
Questions for Mr. Fitch? I do have one. Thank you, Mr. Fitch. Appreciate it. After hearing the testimony from the agency members, I'd like on line 2.1 to move an oral amendment and change the 5% to 10%. And I would like that to not apply, Ms. Taylor. I don't want it to apply to the first year. We're asking for a study to come back. I would like this to not apply to the nursery report until the year beginning ending 6/1, I'm sorry, 6/30/2012. Ms. Taylor, after you've had a chance to write this down, I'll have you repeat it. But members, what this would do is it would give the department the drawing on the 10% of the reserves would not apply in the first year, and it would mean that they have to operate within, can't draw more than 10% of their reserves the 2 years after that. Ms. Taylor, could you read back the amendment?
Mr. Chair, members, on line 2.1, delete 5 and insert 10. And then on line 2.2, after years, you could insert after fiscal year 2012 to get at what you're trying to accomplish.
Thank you. And I'd like to incorporate that into my amendment. Representative Senator Engelbertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, or Senator McNamara, to your amendment, I guess I would like to hear from Senator Peterson what he thinks of this, as well as, we've certainly worked with the and on a really good compromise here, I think, with Senator Peterson's initiative here of at one time talking about shutting down the nurseries cold right in the beginning of the session, coming to the point now where we're working with the department to a good compromise here. And my fear is that 10% might be a little bit too high. I'd like to have a comment from Senator Peterson, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Senator Ingebrigtsen, Mr. Chair. As I understand it, then it stops after the second year. Is that what your intent is?
No, Senator Peterson, the way it's worded would continue. They would, the first year would not count towards whether they stay under their 10% reserves. But if they were to use 10% of the reserves in the two following years, they would begin a three-year phase out. Does that make sense, Senator Peterson?
Yep. Yes, Mr. Chair. So you're saying that if they don't meet that goal, then the day that they don't meet that goal, then they start the phase out.
Correct. Would additional discussion, Senator Peterson? I should have discussed it with you too. I apologize.
Yeah, that would be okay. With me, Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen. So
thank you for the flexibility, Senator Peterson. Additional discussion. I'll just incorporate that into the amendment. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wanted to clarify the last part of the amendment. I followed Mr. Knopf's changes up until the end. I understand we're moving that sentence on 3.2 and 3.3 to the tail end of the previous section, but is that language that's struck in Section 3B remain struck, or does it come back in?
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, you would just delete that section from the amendment. So basically that subdivision 3B, sales to nursery, you wouldn't be amending that at all. It would just stay current law.
Okay, I misunderstood a comment then that Mr. Knopf made at the very end. Thank you for that clarification.
Can I do an additional follow-up to Representative Torkelson? Mr. Knopf, the department will be able to stay in the seed selling business as they currently do. I don't. That's not part of the problems we're trying to address. I believe Senator Peterson, you and I talked about both the research. I'm sure you heard the same testimony we heard about the importance of the research that takes place at the nurseries and the seed collection that currently is a collaboration between the private sector, the state nursery, with private people involved in on the front end before the seed gets to the DNR, and then sometimes in the distribution. And we did not, I believe, Senator Peterson, want to disrupt the seed part. It's the production, nursery field production, that we're interested in here. Mr. Knopf, are we on the right page?
Mr. Chair, you are. This would leave the sales to nursery for native tree seed alone. It also, if you look at, there's a sentence starts on 3.4. The commissioner may also sell native trees and shrubs and lots of 10 or more to nonprofit groups and local units of government. I don't know if you wanted to keep striking that or not. The amendment earlier would do would be delete this from the bill, which means that subdivision 3B under current law would just stay as is.
Mr. Knopf, we need to keep the last sentence struck.
Oh, you do? Okay,
yes.
Mr. Chair. Well, then I think what you need to do is redo the amendment by Senator Peterson. I didn't know that you wanted to keep that struck. I think the best way to do this would be to move an amendment at this. I don't want to get too lost in motions here. To move an amendment to include 2.31 to 3.6 of the amendment with the following changes. On lines 3.1 to 3.2 and 3.3, delete the new language and reinstate the stricken language. And then line 3.4, reinstate the stricken language through the period. And then you would still have that last sentence would be stricken. So basically, you're keeping current law for the first four lines, or first three lines plus through the period, and then you would then be striking that last sentence within subdivision 3B. Does that make sense?
Yes, Mr. Knopf. I'm trying to read this. Mr. Phillips, I'm going to ask you to come back. I don't want to get this wrong. I'm concerned here. Mr. Phillips, in Section 3B, sales to nurseries, we would be deleting the last sentence and leaving the language the way it was. Mr. Phillips, comment.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the last sentence there is not at all linked to the sale of seed. So if you were trying to retain the sale of the seed, you could strike that last sentence. That would remove our ability to sell in small numbers to nonprofits or local units of government. Generally, that's been an issue around Arbor Day-type celebrations or Boy Scouts. When it was originally discussed, when they put the $10 million cap on the state forest nurseries, there was a move here to interject this as I kind of called it the Boy Scout Amendment. If the Boy Scouts would like to buy from the state nurseries, they could.
Mr. Phillips, the intent is for you not to be able to sell trees to the Boy Scouts.
Yep.
But I got a very bad case of poison ivy when we were planting oak acorns out at Afton State Park, as I believe it was Friends of the Mississippi or TNC. We were planting acorns, and they may have been supplied through you. With this amendment, will you still be able to supply those bags of oak acorns to Friends of the Mississippi or TNC?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I feel that we'd still have the opportunity to sell seed to those people.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to getting poison ivy again. Mm-hmm. Additional discussion to the amendment as amended. And members, it will be still before us. So that if after we get the fiscal note, this committee, as we said, is not getting wrapped up today, but we do want to get this amendment adopted. Additional discussion to the amended 846. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
Aye.
The amendment's adopted. Members, Ms. Taylor, where are we at?
Mr. Chair, members, we're on Senate Section 60. It's on R-122 and R-123,
yep.
The water rulemaking moratorium.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I see that we have an out in that action item there, and I would prefer to leave that blank just based on we're still working on an amendment that deals with our – 23 and our 20 or line 60 and 61 there, and so I would hope for some consideration to leave that blank at this point.
Senator Peterson, I believe that we are supposed to leave that blank, that
Thank
this
you.
Is still being discussed, the Senate section 60 and 61. We're working on this issue yet. Ms. Taylor.
And we can move now to the LCCMR sections, and you're going to go
Mr.
back.
Excuse me. Representative Dill.
Okay. But before we move on to that, I'd like to go back to R-120. And we're kind of quickly moving through things. It's a section 53. the Coon Rapids Dam Commission. And, Mr. Chairman, I got a concern. I'd prefer not to adopt this at this time because I think that Representative Hagbarth and I are working on an amendment to this provision that would expand the scope of, or not expand the scope, but the membership of this commission. Because as I read this language, there the fish, the threat, if the fish are, and let's call it an invasive species, but I think we're talking about carp here, if they get to the dam, the people have got them below the dam, and the people aren't represented very well in the northern part of the state, in the northern part of the watershed at all. They're not represented at all, as a matter of fact, you know, up in places where this is going to be usually detrimental. And so I think our amendment would be that, or my amendment would be, and I think Representative Hagbarth might speak to this, is to either expand or to change a little bit of the membership so that at least we had some representation north of the dam and up in the upper part of the watershed, so that those communities, through maybe their state representative or their senator, could understand what's happening to protect them. So I'd ask that we consider that, not as an amendment at this time, but to remove that section. Not remove it, but to not act on it tonight, so that we can have time to prepare an amendment for that.
Members, at Representative Dill and Representative Hackbart's request, Section 53 of the Senate will be moved from a Senate position to be an open issue that's yet to be resolved as they work on that issue.
Maybe, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Dill.
As well, maybe we could hear from Representative Hackbarth. He serves on capital bonding as to what happened today in the Capital Bonding Committee regarding this issue.
Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we did discuss for the fish barrier and to make repairs to this dam. And there was also language that was adopted as an amendment to the capital investment bill that requires the DNR and Three Rivers Park District to form a joint powers agreement and come up with some solutions to ownership problems and things like that, and who's going to maintain it, who's going to own it. So in light of that, at this time, Representative Dill and I are discussing additional people that we might want to see on this to represent north of the dam. I think that's a good idea. We might just put one more senator or one more a House member or something like that. We're not sure exactly what we want to do. We're going to sit down and discuss it. Rather than just come up with something here right now, we'd like to come up with the right thing back as an amendment. So if we could hold off on that at this time.
Well, members, that seems to be a good idea. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hackbarth, if I could ask your indulgence to include Senator Cruz with this conversation. He's been working very hard on this, and we certainly appreciate the work, and I certainly understand somebody from the North End should be represented, and I think that's a good idea, so thank you.
Additional, any other additional comments on the spreadsheet? Members, I would entertain a motion to adopt. Excuse me. Sorry, Senator Rosen.
Are we doing the language still? Excuse me.
You still got one page.
We've got another page to do yet. Okay, remember my mom. Ms. Taylor.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're on page R98 now, and we're going to the LCCMR provisions. It's our understanding that Health Section 3, codifying the LACON statutes and DNR statutes of the House, would be adopted.
Correct.
And then it is our understanding the Health Section 4, the Environmental and Natural Resources Trust Fund Land Management Account, is an open issue at this time.
It is. Ms. Taylor, we'll leave it open.
Okay. And then on R99 and R100, there's a provision, and it is our understanding that a portion of this would be adopted. And if you go to your side-by-side on R99, what I believe the proposal is we would accept the House provision, but we would reinstate the lines on 79.29 and 79.30, so it would still require approval of the work programs.
Do members understand that the stricken language on page... on page R99, line 79.29 and 79.30, the stricken language, none of the money provided may be spent unless the commission has approved the pertinent work program, will be reinstated. Thank you. Continue, Ms. Taylor.
All right. The next House Section 6 on R100 on the non-game wildlife checkoff, and then also the corporate non-game wildlife checkoff on R101, Section 7 of the House. It's our understanding the House positions will be taken up.
Continue, Ms. Taylor.
And then on R101, the repealer, it is our understanding that the two repealers dealing with LACON would be adopted, 84.027 subdivision 11 and 116P.14.
Question. Senator Engelbertson.
Thank you. And at this time, we'll start with a couple amendments. Is that right, Senator Rosen, you had? And I have one as well.
In regards to where we're at?
Issue nothing list first. Where we're at.
Why don't we, Senator Engelbertson, I think we're ready to adopt.
The list is modified first before you do anything more.
How about, do you want to, Senator Engelbertson, do you want to make a motion?
I will move to adopt the list as modified by the committee.
Discussions. The members realize this is the entire list that Ms. Taylor has painstakingly been going through with a number of changes, many of them to delete what we thought we might be adopting to have further discussion. And there was a number of amendments on this. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Okay, it's adopted. Senator Engelbertson, now to an amendment. Ready? Or Senator Rosen? Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, I move the A-12 amendment, please.
Senator Rosen to the A-12.
The A-12 amendment deals with the moratorium that we have in place on toll in the state. And members, I can just briefly refresh you. I believe in the House you have not brought this up on the floor. I believe it is coming up on the floor tomorrow or Thursday or something. We have passed it off the floor. But in 07, we passed the next gen that had the renewable energy standard in at seabed, the conservation improvement program, and then this greenhouse gas emissions and the coal moratorium. At that time, we thought we were told that there would be some situations in place why this would work, and that would be the cap and trade system. Those have not materialized, and it's important to look at the baseload energy needs going forward for the state. It's extremely important for our economic recovery, and I would like to see this on this bill so that we can continue to move forward. And if we need to build a coal plant, we can in the future. However, more important that we can accept energy from other states that do have coal or energy that is developed by coal. So that is basically what this amendment is doing, Mr. Chair.
To the A-12. Discussion to the A-12. Mr. Grant, I'm assuming you're here for the A-12. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman and members, Bill Grant, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Commerce, Division of Energy Resources. We do have some strong concerns about the amendment, the A-12 amendment. As Senator Rosen points out, this was adopted overwhelmingly by the body in 2007. Nothing has really changed since then with respect to the need for new baseload capacity. We monitor that situation very closely in our department, and there's nothing to suggest that we're in any way in danger of needing capacity from a new coal plant that this law would prevent us from getting. The restrictions that were put in place in 2007 do not prevent the Public Utilities Commission from approving a new coal plant if needed to maintain system reliability. So every flexibility is available if the situation should arise. And finally, members, this really guts the state's ability to meet its greenhouse gas goals because coal plants are by far and away the largest source of greenhouse gases.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, just in response, and we've had a very healthy debate about this on the Senate side, and look forward to the debate on the House side too. However, the coal plants that we have in the state are up to the EPA standards. They do have the latest and greatest scrubbers, and they are modified to address this issue. The 07 law, there was many good pieces to it, but this, what it passed bipartisan overwhelmingly with the understanding that there was going to be a cap and trade, a carbon market available for us, and that has not materialized because all we have is New England and California, and it's very expensive to buy these credits, very, very expensive. I tend to disagree with Mr. Grant on the baseload energy needs because just in the last 2 years, it was said, I don't have those figures as far as what our baseload energy needs would be going forward, but they're substantial, and we need to address that and be respectful of that. You talk to any business around, and they say that energy is one of their primary concerns, and we need to look forward, and hopefully the economy does turn around, and we need to be prepared. So an IRP, an integrated resource plan, takes about 5 years to get going and about 3 years to build a plant, a power plant. This is serious, to just turn around our energy sustainability just like that. We need to be prepared. The thing to remember, too, that a lot of this issue is based around the North Dakota coal, and that is very, very clean coal, some of the cleanest coal out there. And I think, you know, we're going to have some issues if we do not address that. And we've got some very high energy prices around the state, and I think this is still allows the PUC to direct how this is going to go for these utilities. But the law is extremely difficult to interpret, and that's why it's at the administrative law judge right now for a case for Great River.
Thank you. Additional comment, Deputy Commissioner? Additional comments? Senator Peterson. And
thank you, Mr. Chair. The only thing I would add, on this topic is that oftentimes, you know, I believe that the energy prices that commercial and industrial businesses pay are significantly more than residences. The more energy you use, typically the higher price per kilowatt you pay. So in my view, that artificially holds down the actual cost of energy for single-family homes, much like property taxes and that type of thing. And so anything we can do to stabilize, our energy needs moving forward, you know, I'm going to be in favor of, and I think I want to speak in favor of Senator Rosen's amendment and urge members to vote in favor of that.
Members, is there anyone in the audience that wants to speak for or against the A-12? Seeing no one, all those in favor of the any additional discussion of the A-12? All those in favor of the A-12 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The A-12 is adopted. Where are we at? Members, we are getting very close in audience to being wrapped up this evening. There's one more issue. We have a difference between the House and the Senate on the LCCMR bill. I believe it's Section 4 of the LCCMR bill. That's the DNR state parks. I'm wondering, Deputy Commissioner, and I see your parks also here, if you guys could come forward, if you could, please. Deputy Commissioner, when we heard you testify, and I believe the testimony was also heard in the Senate, based on our environment bills that passed off committee and then off the floor, that somewhere between 14 and 24 parks would be closed or significantly reduced operations. The Senate has proposed that the new state park in Lake Vermilion not have the $3 million of LCCMR money spent there, but you use that money to help the state parks not close as were originally proposed to have happen. I'm wondering if you could let us know what kind of things the money in LCCMR would and could be used to help the Parks Department operate this summer with more of them over the next 2 years of the biennium to help them out. Deputy Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, again, Dave Shad, Deputy Commissioner from DNR. With me is Cortland Nelson, our Director of our Parks and Trails Division. The we've estimated that approximately 1 million per year of our park operating budget could be funded through environmental trust fund dollars. This would include activities associated with resource management, prescribed burning, tree planting, managing the natural resources in the park and trail system, and also some of our educational and interpretive work. We don't believe that we could use environmental trust fund dollars for things like facility maintenance, restrooms, maintaining restrooms, manning park contact stations. A lot of the day-to-day kind of operation of parks would be basically managing recreation, managing public use, rather than managing natural resources. And I don't have the constitutional language associated with the Environmental Trust Fund, but that would be our determination.
Director Nelson, and thank you, Deputy Commissioner Shad. I appreciate that. We're trying to work with a time in the economy that's very tough, and realizing, I think, that the LCCMR money, the lottery money that we often see the TV commercials of showing the loon, I think people envision something like state parks being helped out at a time when we heard testimony that we were going to close them. If there's a way to help that and meet the requirements, we do not want to be going awry to that. Director Nelson, was there anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, Cortland Nelson, DNR Director of Parks and Trails. I think Deputy Director Shad really hit all of the key points and summarized our position on this.
Thank you. Representative Dill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, it is likely that, as the Deputy Commissioner said, a million of the, what was it, 3 million could be used for those purposes. But I have to oppose the amendment, not because I don't think we shouldn't have our parks open, and not because I don't think that LCMR money, which I'm on the LCMR committee, as you're aware, you and I, Representative Hackbarth, shouldn't be used for the types of things that the Deputy Commissioner stated. But, you know, that bill passed with your governor supporting the bill, in fact, pushing the bill. And I passed it as a Democrat because my committee, and I could see the value. It was in not only in my committee, but also I passed it on the House floor. I could see the value, but I also had an appropriation in there, and I said it would be just a criminal act to go forward, even in tough times or good times, and not develop this park. And so now here we are in tough times, diverting money from its really intended use in LCMR away from developing the park. At the time, it was estimated it would take by the department $30 million to develop the most expensive shoreline in the state of Minnesota, when there was a state park right next door to it that they've never spent a dime on, the Sudan State Park. And so, you know, I mean, this is going to pass. This amendment will pass. But I just want to make sure that I keep on the record that the money to develop the most expensive shoreline in the state, allegedly the most beautiful shoreline in the state, is again being raided here to keep other parks open when we should be using other sources of money to keep those parks open. And frankly, I have more parks in my district than any other district in the state, and some of the very most high-profile ones in the state. And so this is a very passionate issue, not only economically, but from a tourism perspective of even local people that they visit these parks. So I'll be opposing the amendment, but I just wanted to say why.
Representative Dill, just to clarify, we do not have an amendment before us. I wanted to have this discussion. I wanted to find out. The Senate has a proposal to move $3 million, and I remember, if I'm not mistaken, Dill, in our committee, we had testimony that wasn't sure exactly how that would fit within the LCCMR ability to use some of that money there. So I thought we should get the testimony today to have discussion among the members and then come back to revisit, as a number of the other issues are still work in progress. You and I didn't talk about this, Representative Dill, but I anticipated you would have some of the things that you're speaking to now. And I'm trying to, as I was an active supporter of the state park, I'm torn on this amendment and where we're going. And so we're trying to work through this. This is a tough one.
Chairman?
Representative Dale.
Well, I thought I heard you say we had an amendment for tonight. I thought I heard you say that. But I'll spare you the speech when the amendment does come forward. I think the point has been made. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Engelbrechtson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, if you will indulge me with my description as to how this came about, and I certainly appreciate the comments of Representative Dill, as well as Senator Bach as well. I've had discussions with him when this was going on, and face-to-face conversations with Governor Pawlenty at that time when they were looking at purchasing this park, personally, I at that time said I was going to oppose it, and even knowing what a jewel it was, I just felt that at the time when we are so strapped for money that we'd be out looking to buy more property. But the bottom line, it did happen, and I voted against even purchasing it, and I was assured by him, or there was discussion by him, which really doesn't, I guess, mean a whole lot to this group. Was a personal discussion that we need to purchase this and some years down the line develop it. And I certainly understood that concept because we couldn't, quite frankly, afford it. And then when $3 million this year was going to be appropriated for it, it was my action that took that $3 million from that. And the reason I did that is we as a legislative body being accused of there was comments about us shutting down parks and being responsible for that, and I didn't want to be responsible for possibly shutting it down. So when the governor's bill came out, it didn't include enough dollars for the parks, this $3 million, and it was a pretty easy sell for me, Representative Dill and members, to go out to my constituents and say, yes, we do have this this jewel up there, but right now we're not going to be able to afford to spend $3 million on it, especially when there's the possibility that we're going to be closing down at one time even 27 state parks, but I think that's changed now. Whatever you read in a newspaper, I guess, is not necessarily gospel. I guess we all know that. But this brought the $3 million back to help the operations of the existing parks, and that would be an easy sale for me and my constituents to say, let's take care of the ones we have before we move on and start developing another one. So that's where I came from. And again, with conversations with Senator Bach, he's saying it's going to be the one premier park in the state of Minnesota in the future. I don't doubt that. It sounds like it is. There's some islands there that are included in that. And I certainly look forward to developing that myself sometime if I'm here. So that's where I'm at.
Mr.
Chair, for indulgence.
Yes. Well, Representative Dill, to this point.
Well, thank you for that, Senator. And I think that would be a debate as far as Senator Bach's saying that would be the crown jewel, because I think the same people in our district that have Split Rock Lighthouse and Castle Danger and about nine other parks would all think that they have the crown jewel on the lake, on the shoreline of Lake Superior. That being said, I didn't hear from the deputy director, commissioner, or Director Nelson that this money was going to be used for operations, and I thought that it took operations money to keep the parks open. I thought I only heard him say that it could be used for control burns and for forestry planting and things of that nature. And so really the point of going home and telling your people that we got $3 million that we're not spending at Lake Vermilion so that we can keep our parks open and operational doesn't seem to wash. I'm just asking that question if I heard that right. If I didn't hear it right, then I'd like to be corrected.
Representative Dill, I believe the deputy commissioner talked about how some of the LCCMR money could go to the Parks Department, and in the end, by some of these operations that take place in the Parks Department, would legitimately be able to be funded by LCCMR, would in the end help them keep more parks open for more hours. Deputy Commissioner Shad.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. We would take that $1 million per year So $2 million total. Use that for those appropriate activities, resource management related activities, and then take the general fund or the park operating dollars that would be freed up from that and use that for operating parks.
Thank you for that
clarification. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have to clarify my previous comments. I supported the Dames Amendment. It was Senator Dames that actually brought forth that amendment to shift the dollars over to those $3 million over to the parks. That was my mistake.
Okay. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as a point of clarification, it's my understanding that as part of the bonding bill that actually purchased this park, that there was some money in that for development of the park. Could the DNR folks explain the situation there, please?
Director Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, members, there was a residue of about $2 million following the purchase, and some of those dollars have been used for planning activities as it relates to the water sewer power road. The bonding dollars, by definition, can be used for those capital activities that are essential to the operation of park or the plans that lead directly to those capital development activities. So there were dollars that were left over. Those are fairly limited but very important in their use, and we are applying those at this time.
Well, thank
Representative
you.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that clarification. I'm a farmer, and the residue on my farm doesn't have any dollar signs in front of it, but I'm glad yours does.
$2 million.
Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair and members, I wasn't around when this decision was made to buy the Vermilion property to turn it into a state park. So fortunately, I don't have to get he said, she said stuff, so I can look at the future. And I think it would really be unfortunate if we started closing some of the parks that we've had around the state so that we could start a new one. I think that would really send a strange message to most of our constituents, and Vermilion isn't going to go away, and when we get some more funds, we can probably develop that park. But I think in the meantime, we have to look at keeping the parks we have open, and I think that would be the best for our constituents.
Thank you, Senator Dames. Additional discussion to this evening? Members, I believe, as we sometimes say, the situation is fluid as far as our next meeting. We're making some progress here. We have some additional things to work on. Some of the agencies have some things to work on. But Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see Senator Senjum is here in the room today, tonight. I was wondering if he had anything to bring before the committee. If not, I would certainly entertain a motion to adjourn.
It sounds like a good idea. Members, we are adjourned.
What's that one?
I'm with you on that, by the way.
All that work you did?
Yeah.
On the LCCMR?
So hard.
Make this so hard.
Okay.
Oh, it hurts.